Welcome to Milkshake Monday, episode 196. This is being provided by Four Dose Productions. Tonight's lesson is called Men, We Need You in the House. And I want to tell all of the men, happy Father's Day, happy Juneteenth federal holiday. And today is the last day of spring. Tomorrow is summer. And I can tell you, I've never been a father, so I don't have much experience on that front. But I also didn't know as much as I'm learning about Juneteenth and what happened 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation by the president, and how Texas did not allow slaves to be freed, and there was a lot of mass murders. So I'm learning a lot about the actual history of Juneteenth. And then until the meteorologist this morning told me that today is the last day of spring, I really wasn't thinking about the significance of June 20th, other than it being the federal holiday of Juneteenth. So today is very, very informative for all of us. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the teaching. When we had the Monday after Mother's Day, I did an ode to womanhood. So today I'm going to do an ode to fatherhood, since yesterday was Father's Day, and I celebrate all of the men and grandfathers and uncles who are being a blessing to young adults and children who need to be raised in the Lord. So congratulations to all of you. I've been thinking about the topic of men in the house of worship for a while. So I'm using the house as not just the house of worship, but also our own homes. So I'm using, that's why I said house and not just church. For a while, before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and now in the midst of it, because we're still in the midst of it, it's not over, we've always seen a falling away of men in the local houses of worship. And we're going to talk about that. Now, I got to tell you something. I've been in churches that have had 24,000 members, and I've been in churches with only 10. And the church congregation that I'm in now is not a large congregation. I've seen where you have thousands of men and you have thousands of women. But at the same time, there's always this offset where there's always more women than men. I've been in congregations where I've worshiped where it's been non-denominational or a Methodist church or a charismatic word-based church, Baptist church. I've been in different congregations as a Protestant member. But what I've found is that slowly but surely, you start to see the congregations have more women and less grown men, less younger men, and less boys. It's like something happens and all of a sudden there's this mad, you know, exodus to the door, and all of a sudden you have women in all these different roles. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with women. And I got to give this preface to you women. I'm not coming on behalf of being anybody's first lady. I'm just giving you straight Anita. There are women that will say, where's my appreciation? I'm being the husband and the wife. I'm being the father and the mother because I'm a woman household. I'm the head of the household and there's nobody else but me. I'm not doing anything to say that is not a wonderful accomplishment, that you're carrying a heavy load. But we understand that the Lord said it's not good for men to be alone. And ultimately, you would think that God would want you to have help. And there are women that are Christians that say they really don't like men. There are women that would prefer to have really no men in the church. I'm not saying that anything criticizing you, but if we could have a balanced situation in our houses of worship and even in our homes, the Lord has shown us that he had Adam and Eve. He had a husband and a wife to rear children. And he had husbands and wives. And you saw throughout the Old and New Testament that it was supposed to be a coming together of the gender roles, even in the house of worship. So I don't want you to get your feelings hurt because I'm going to talk to men and how I'm going to share some things. Now, the word need is an interesting word. On Friday, I sent a message to a friend and I was saying how we in the house of faith, we in the children of Christianity, we need this person. And I use that word need. And interesting enough, after the tributes yesterday, Pastor Watts said that he needed Sister Winters and I as the former first ladies of the pastors that used to be in charge of Resurrection Baptist Church as the under shepherds. And that word need came to me. And I said, well, tonight I want to use the word need as well, because men, every man that's under the sound of my voice, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, or ones that don't even know and need to know him, we need you in the house. And the house is the house of worship because we are the body of Christ. We are the church. But the buildings that you see that are congregating with people assembled together, people who are imperfect, only Jesus Christ is perfect. We need you to come back. A lot of you have left for many reasons, many hurts and pains, and maybe you left in humiliation or shame, or you had an experience that was devastating to you, or you felt that people didn't treat you right. I don't know the multitudes of reasons for why you as men left the houses of worship that you left, and even the houses of the homes that you left. But I'm telling you, as a woman myself, there is a need for you men and boys to come back into the house of worship, the house of prayer, God's house. Because just like we women need to learn of God, you men need to learn of God. But I'm going to share some things tonight which may touch you. And I hope it reaches you through the Holy Spirit to kind of convict you, to get that part of you that really has wanted to come back, but felt like there's too many reasons. It's been too many years. They'll look at me side eye. I don't know anybody. How are they going to treat me? What's going to happen? All of those things could be valid reasons for why Satan tells you not to come back. But I am sharing with you that it's so important for you to come back. And here's some simple reasons that we're going to talk about tonight. The first is that when God touches your life, that you get saved, when you actually change your position from being an unbeliever to confessing that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe in the salvation, and you find yourself in this position where you were going to church and worshiping, and then somehow you have left the body of Christ in a sense of leaving the assembly, not that you've left him, but you've left for whatever pain or whatever circumstance, and you're not going faithfully or regularly, you're not really a part of a body, there's something incomplete in you. And for those that believe that they truly love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you have to understand that whatever he's begun in you, he is faithful to complete it. But that requires you being obedient to his word, his principles. So let's go to the first scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to read it in the New International Version, but at the end, I'm going to change it to the New Living Version because I want you to hear both translations. Here's what it says to you. Yes, you are a woman listening, and yes, you may be a man listening, but for the men tonight, we need you back in the house. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What Christ began in you with your salvation, I have seen so many people come into the house of the Lord and they thought it was a magic pill. All my problems were going to fall away. All my financial, all my marital problems, everything that's been bothering me is just going to disappear. Sanctification is a process. It is not that anybody on the day out after you say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins, and help me to be a part of the body. You've accepted the invitation to discipleship. You've been baptized and you are having all of these wonderful new birth experiences. That doesn't mean everything in your life disappears. All the consequences of sinful, evil behavior, all of that mind that you have been filling up with evil, this doesn't disappear overnight. All those habits and hobbies. Some people miraculously can just not want to do a lot of the things that they used to do. But the reality is it's a process. All of us are going through a process where Christ is helping us to become more like him, to have more of his mind, more of his spirit in us. So if you came into the house of God with the expectations that everything's just going to miraculously be better for the next day and the next day and the next day, and things weren't, and people weren't perfect like you thought they were going to be, and they weren't loving like you were supposed to be, like you thought they were supposed to be. Honey, my brother, my brothers, please understand you have to learn about the word of God. You have to know and get that relationship with him to understand that he loves you. and he's going to be patient with you. And sometimes you're going to meet brothers and sisters in the house that are not going to show behaviors that you were expecting. And you get people always say, oh, there's so many hypocrites in the church. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is a healing station. All of us have issues. You're not coming to Christ because you're not going to have family members without issues. All of us have issues, and that's why we have to go to him, because he's the only one that's perfect that doesn't have any issues. But here's the thing that I think happens to our brothers. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. What I think happens to the men in our church, it can happen to the women, but women tend to stick it out a little bit more. But the men run into an iron skillet. You know, an iron skillet, you ever seen those Madea movies, and she gets mad and she says, get an iron skillet and just whack them. Well, sometimes when men come into the house, they understand that there's a relationship they are having with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are willing at the time to make that leap of faith. But then they start hearing all of the do's and don'ts in their mind. And sometimes women are the do's and don'ts, because if a wife has finally got her husband to come in, you know, you're not supposed to be doing all that drinking. You know, you're not supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to go to church. You know. But guess what? Babes in Christ, whether they're women or men, it is not something that instantaneously everything that you've been doing for the last 30 or 40 years just magically is something that you don't want to do. It is a process. But look at what it says in Colossians. And when you see Colossians, it really gets a standard for all of us to attain sanctification. But that's not an overnight thing. But I think sometimes we don't have other men encouraging the new men coming in. What we have is a lot of women talking to them. And maybe they'll talk to the pastor, or they may be intimidated to talk to the pastor, because guess what? He's a preacher. And they don't want to divulge all the stuff they got going on. We don't tell people what's going on in our secret closets. That's the wonderful thing that what was going on with Reverend Helm. Reverend Helm lived on these large aircraft carriers with 4,000 men who had every kind of habit issue and thing, and cussed and did all the other stuff that all men do. So it wasn't like anybody, man or woman, was going to shock him by what they had in their mind, what they did, what they were going to do, what they want to do. All that stuff wasn't a shock to him. So when he talked to these people and they talked to him, they could talk to him openly and freely about what they were struggling with. But when people, especially men, come into the house of worship and prayer, there are so few men that are there that when they go through the struggles that we're going to talk about in Colossians, they ain't going to talk to their wife about the struggles they are going through. They ain't going to talk to the sister. They ain't going to talk to the first lady. They ain't going to talk to all these people that look like they got it together. They want to talk to somebody who can understand what a man goes through. We women can go without, let's say, physical sex for a long time. A man's body has urges. So when they are in a situation where they're coming out and they're not married, for some of them, and they've been having sex with women, and all of a sudden they want to live a life of Christ, and they say, you know, that's not right. It is a struggle. And if they don't have the ability to talk to another man about the struggle, they oftentimes won't talk to another woman. They oftentimes don't feel comfortable that there's somebody young enough in the church that even understands what they're talking about. Because everybody in the church these days may be 50, 60, 80 years old. So what do they understand of a 20-year-old who's rife with testosterone and how he's struggling? So let's go to Colossians verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Well, these men coming in the house, they've done a lot of time thinking about worldly things. I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about their careers. I'm talking about what they do for fun, what they drink for fun, what they smoke for fun, all these things that they've been doing that are fun to them. Watching certain movies is fun to them. Sex is still fun to them. So when you tell them when they come in, as they get to be new creatures in Christ, and even people who have been there for a while, To set your mind on things above is a process. But immediately they get told in new members orientation and all the things that all the people around them, their women, their mamas, their grandmamas, their girlfriends, their wives, whoever may be talking to them, that they got to make these big changes, and it's intimidating to them because the flesh doesn't want to. Satan is going to have those friends of theirs that doesn't want to. And guess what? Man, why don't you come out with me on Saturday? Man, let's go get something to drink. Man, Friday, you know, we got a good old thing going. Let's go to the festival. Let's do this. Satan is going to still try to woo them away. And a lot of times in the house, there's not much things going on except for prayer meeting and church services. So their life of having a good time, what they understood to be a good time, now you've taken away all of the things that they used to at least enjoy. The fun. Do we have a card game in the church? No, that's we can't do that. Do y'all have some kind of get together? No, we don't do that. We have so many things that we don't understand. You're taking away the life that they understood and enjoyed. And what are you offering? Yes, we are offering the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, salvation. But you have to understand, these are men and boys. And a whole 50%, 70%, 80% group of women may not have the understanding of what these young and older men are going through. But I want you to understand, we need your church. Look at this other scripture. Verse 3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now the put to death list. And this is where we are very quick to tell the men, put to death. And this is the word of God. This is the truth of God. And as we grow in our faith and our knowledge of who Christ is, these things will be mortified and put to death. But doesn't mean it's not a struggle. And I think the men of the church, the pastors of the church, need to recognize that when men come back into the house, we need to have some understanding of where they're coming from. Because if we don't, this mad exodus of this revolving door, they come in and they see what's there and say, "Oh, I'm out." Verse 5 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Guess what men do? They have an earthly nature. We women have it too. Sexual immorality, having a lot of sex with different women or the same woman that's not your wife. That's sexual immorality. That just doesn't change overnight. You understand that it's not what God wants, but some people just say, "Okay, you had this woman for the last 15 years. Okay, you got saved. All right, that's done. Marry her. Don't have sex with her." Those are things that may happen in time, but you have to have an understanding that men are not the same as women. Women would struggle with it too, but now you find that the men, they don't know how to just turn all of this stuff off overnight. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in all these ways. See, this is a process. This is a process that will happen. But you used to walk in all these ways in the life you once lived. A lot of men are still living this way. And the pastors and the deacons and the trustees and the men of these different groups that may be in the church need to talk to these men, need to minister to these men, need to pray with these men, need to have Bible study with these men so that they can talk about the struggle. These men aren't coming in one day and then all of a sudden, all of these ways in their life that they used to live don't just disappear overnight. Their friends are still pulling at them. But if we don't offer them mentorship, companionship, friendship, so they can have somebody to talk to. It's just like when you have somebody in AA, they give you a sponsor. Because the person that stopped drinking one day, they got to get to 30 days. They got to get to 60 days. They got to get to 90 days. They got to get the 1 year chip. This stuff doesn't just turn off. And Satan is there to try to get them pulled back into the world. And unless we as the house of worship start to recognize that the men are fleeing in exodus, but some of it is because we're not recognizing that we have to be there to support. And guess what? It's not going to always be women. But that's what a lot of the churches, the majority are there are women. And guess what? They're not young women. And that could be temptation if you got a man that's struggling with impurity and thoughts. If you throw out a woman to be a person to help him, that may not be so helpful. All right, let's keep going. Verse 8 says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. So you got the physical, sexual temptations. Now you have the emotional piece. And guess what? The men that are not in the house are not sometimes in the physical homes. So some of these men have never had the demonstration of how you keep your emotions in check. All they've known is that they've dealt with women all their lives. They've had situations where they've been angry and they've seen men who've been angry. They've seen some men who've been hurtful to women. And some of these emotions are not healthy. But now we have the next part of Colossians. It says you have to rid yourself of these things. Anger and rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Men cuss, women cuss. Men get mad, women get mad. Women have rage, men have rage. But if you've never had a healthy man in your life, whether it's in the house of God or in your own house, and all you've seen is rage and anger and malice and evil and filthy language. And now you say, come into the house of God. And because of your relationship with Christ, Christ will start to work on this area. But it takes time. It takes prayer. It takes study. It takes fasting and prayer. It takes mentors. It takes people encouraging you to not give up. We saw where there's people in the scripture that talks about having a tongue that was filthy and they had to have a coal put on them. You all know the Isaiah story. But the thing about it is we have these expectations when these men and these boys and these young people come into the house. Oh, you can't say that cuss word. Well, they've been saying it for 15 or 20 years. Yes, they will learn not to cuss so much. Yes, they will learn not to be so angry. But guess what? They have to get that in their heart. The Spirit has to work on them. It's not an immediate process. And we have to be sensitive and loving and caring to have some patience with these brothers. And that's why I think we have to tell the men, we love you. We want you to come back into the house. We want you back in. We need you back in. Because if we don't have the men come back in the house, it's going to affect the houses that people are going back to live in. So I want you to look at all of that because I can't read it all. But go all the way down to verse 15. I can't read it all night, but I want you to read all of that. Because why do we need the men back in the house? We need them because the house won't operate the way that God wants it to operate. And if you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, I've told you for homework, read all the way down to 15 to see what the iron skillet of what's hitting these men in the face is happening. But now I want you to think about if we don't get the men back into the house of worship, the house of prayer, the house of God, we're going to have our homes affected. And it's already happening. It's not just a coincidence that we have more of these boys and men who want to be women, who want to love other men, who want to do things that God says is an abomination to them. They've not had men in their household that have either been healthy or not evil. The men either weren't there, so they don't have exposure to men. And then when they have a evil man come to them and offer them love and attention through a homosexual situation or a prostitution situation or whatever situation that may not be of God, you wonder, how did that happen? Because they weren't in the house of worship and prayer, and then they didn't want to stay in the house that they were living in. Look what it says in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Yesterday when I did part of the tribute, I said to the men, the fathers, the uncles, the brothers, it's hard for you to be a father or a father figure and show love when you don't know who love is, which is Jesus Christ. You don't understand what father means because you don't know our Father. You don't have that understanding. You've not been trained. You've not had that growth. You've not had it in your household. And then you don't go to church. And then you find yourself getting somebody pregnant out of wedlock or in the marriage. You don't know the roles and responsibilities that God has for the different genders, for what a man should be in their household, what a man should be to their child, what a man should be to their wife. And then you have these kids, which compounds it. And you wonder why things don't work out. And then you don't understand how to handle the anger that you feel, the frustration you feel, the devastation you feel, the disappointment you feel. All these emotions are coming up and you don't have any training, any spiritual understanding of it, because you won't go to church, because you don't feel that you can do that. And now you feel like you can't even be at your own house and you're a failure. And all of a sudden you just disappear and leave. That's why we need you back in the house. We need you back in the house of God, of worship, of prayer, Jesus's house, so that you one day can be in your own house. I'm not saying when I talk about men in rage and in anger that I'm telling any woman to be in a house with a man that's beating her. I'm not saying anything close to that. So anybody that's taking that out of context, please stop. I'm sharing that we need the men to get back into the house of worship, because if they're going to be effective fathers, effective and loving husbands, and be a ministry into their homes, into the houses of worship, into the communities, into the greater organization of this world, we need them to have relationships in the house of prayer so they can be effective in the houses of our houses. Now, God has always wanted it to be a tag team for the children and the being reared. And I understand some of you, either through death of your husbands or divorces or deadbeat dads or whatever the situation is, even men get mad about the word deadbeat dad. They feel like we're not being fair because some people are trying and it's not working and everybody gets thrown into the same category. And sometimes we don't understand the whole scenario of what's going on. The point of it is, in order to be the best father, you have to know the Father. Now, when it comes to children, go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9 says, I'm reading the NIV. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. God has always wanted there to be a father. He knew that children are born to husbands and wives, men and women. And I know we have all different types of families, but we know what God said, how he wanted it to be. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Instruction, teaching, instruction, teaching. Father's giving instructions, mama's teaching. They both are working in concert together to train up these children. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, this is the one that we always hear, Proverbs 22 verses 6 through 9. The version I have is NIV and it says, start children. But in many other versions, you've heard train up a child. But start children. We always seem to be having the babies and the children outside of the order of God. And then we wonder why there's things that are in balance. Because Sally and Johnny are having sex together before they get married, and then somebody ends up pregnant, somebody has a little baby, and praise God, children are a gift from the Lord. I'm not changing any of that. They're heritage from the Lord. I'm just saying that because there's not an order of how the relationship is started in the will of God, they usually have these relationships that they're not in the house of worship. They're not in the house of prayer to even understand the roles and responsibilities of a man or a woman. And then they don't know to understand what the roles and responsibilities that God sees for a father and a mother. So then when you start to say, start them up, start these children right, train them up, the children don't know any better because the parents don't know any better. And you say, how did that happen? Because somewhere down the line, there's a mom and a dad who had their babies and now their babies are having babies. But again, men, if you understood your role in the relationships of families and how important it really is for you to be in the house of worship. And I can tell you, I'm doing a lot of research for the different teachings I'm having for Stan and relationship. people, even when they're Christians, will go to church thinking it's going to fix every marital problem that there is. And that's not the way it works either. But you at least have to understand the principles of God when it comes to relationships and fatherhood and marriage and even dating. All these things are in the Bible, and nobody's going to do it perfect, but at least strive to do what the Lord says. So it says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, we see a lot of people, I have family members, a lot of people who started their children up, trained their children up, took their children to worship, took their children to Sunday school and all this stuff, and all of a sudden now they're hellraisers. You got people that used to be taken by grandmama and mama to church, and now they don't even go to church, and they don't take their children to church, and now their children are having children. And you're like, how is this? Is this really happening? The reality is sometimes we took people to a building and left them, or we took people to a building and never lived the principles of faith in their presence at the house. Men were being drugged to church, and they really didn't have a relationship with Christ, but they were drugged to church because they shut up the woman and they just sat there and bided their time until they can go home and do what they really wanted to do, watch whatever they wanted to do, wash whatever car they wanted to do, go and do whatever the H they wanted to do, but they got the woman off their back, but there really was no faith relationship. And then the children saw that. And where you thought you were starting them off or training them in the right way, they saw what the game was. Bide your time, do it, keep the woman quiet. But then when you got 15, 16, 20, you're out of there. And when it was your turn, you weren't going to do that to your kids. And now we have a bunch of men who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s who say, I don't want anything to do with religion, because religion is what some people as men took away from church. They didn't take the relationship. They didn't take the sincerity of heart of having a kinship and intimacy with Christ. They took the religious traditions of men, because that's what all they saw was traditions. They didn't see the love, the faith. They didn't have people take them by the hand and show them an intimate relationship with Christ and how it was a walk. It wasn't just a sprint. You weren't going to immediately get it. So let's go to this last one. I'm not going to go to Ephesians 5, but if you read that, it talks about a husband and wife relationship. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 13. Reverend Watts has been teaching about in Corinthians. We always go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to be in verses 4 through 6 for Corinthians 13. We always say that for love, like I'm in a romantic relationship, so my husband is going to be romantic with me and he's going to be loving and kind. And yes, that's all true, but I want to show from a different scenario. Imagine if you have men coming back and you have women who are their wives, or these are women's sons or grandsons, and they're coming back in the church and they've been away for a while. The behaviors that we as the congregation who are there, who are the disciples that they're coming into, they already have an apprehension for coming because they don't know what to expect. How are you going to treat them? Because they know you left, that they left because of some questionable situation in their lives, or you've heard that they've been doing all kinds of illicit things and they don't know how you're going to treat them. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, not from the romantic point of view, but the point of view that we have men, boys, coming back into the house of worship, and we need to behave a certain way that God talks about love. And it's not all about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your boo. It's about people and their feelings, men and their feelings. We need to make sure that when these men, who I pray in the name of Jesus, will come back into the house of worship, of prayer of God, that we will show love, that we will be patient. Love is patient. You can't expect somebody that's been running the streets for 20 years to come back into the house and have their act together in your vernacular. God is wooing them back through the Spirit of God, through evangelism. When they come back, we as the believers in Christ who've been there, we have to be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. People coming back and running their lips about what they thought they knew about this person in the past, that's not kind, that's not loving, and that's not patient. We have to make sure that we do not envy. Don't envy because your sister got her husband back and your husband haven't come back. Don't envy because her boys come back from rehab and your boy is still on the streets. Don't envy. Show love. It does not boast. It is not proud. We have a lot of people still in the church that are still thinking that their stuff don't stink. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When the men come back, when the women come back into the house of God, we have to be loving. We have to be caring and patient and understanding and be that sponsor, that mentor. If you are a man who's gone through whoremongering, who's gone through substance abuse, alcoholism, who's gone through anger management, who's gone through being incarcerated, we have to be loving. It does not dishonor others. This is not all about relationships and having your boo. This is about love in the house of worship, of prayer. It is not self-seeking. Ooh, you know, my kids never were like that. My husband's never like that. Look at hers. You are not trying to puff yourself up in pride and parading yourself. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. If somebody comes in and cusses you out a little bit, are you grown enough to understand that that's where they've been. That's what they knew. That's how they communicated. Forgive. Pray. Be a person that has your big boy pants, your big girl pants on. They are coming out of an environment where they didn't know the principles of Christ. They are learning to grow and put aside that anger. It just doesn't happen overnight. But you as a believer, a mature believer who has been eating the meat of the word, and they're coming in as babes in Christ. Even if they're grown men, they have been outside of the house of God. You can't expect them. You expected them to come in with a three-piece suit. They're act together. They have not been in a suit in 40 years. Get over that stuff. We need them to come back into the house. And these men need to be welcomed with love and understanding. And they're not coming back for you to be your boyfriend or your new husband. Get that crap out of your mind. They're coming back because they need Jesus. They need to be healed. They are hurting. They're outside of the house because they've been hurt in the house sometimes. And now that they're out, all they're getting is Satan is destroying them. And we have to let them know that when they come back into the house, there is love, there is understanding, there is care. Here it says here, it keeps no record of wrongs. Y'all know that the church is the only one. We always say that they shoot their wounded. We know that all of us have wronged God. All of us have been evil to him. All of us have sinned against God. Who are we to throw up in somebody's face the evil that we know of them? Look at your own self. Don't look at what your husband did or your son did or your grandson did or that guy did that you know or the person you went to school with or you know about that bad. Yeah, look at yourself. What about your bad behavior? What about your anger? What about your stuff? Deal with your stuff in the mirror, but pray for the brothers that are coming back into the house. It says here, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. If you see that a man that has come back in the house is still struggling, that's not the time to keep beating him up and throwing stuff in his face. Encourage him. Encourage. If somebody falls off the wagon, you don't just keep giving them bottles to drink. You say, come on, let's start over day one. Let's start over day one again. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. You can do this. Let's pray. Let's make sure we give you more support. Let's come and have Bible study with you. If this is a struggle with you, this is a sin that so easily possesses you, what can we do together to give you more support? That's men helping other men. And that may be women. If you can't be with that man in the sense of because that's a temptation, pray for them. Do fasting and pray. Find a way to find maybe your husband, your brother, your uncle. Maybe they've gone through a struggle and you introduce them to them. I mean, you got to think of ways how to help the men. We can't keep having churches with nothing but women. I know some women say we can do everything the men can. Yes, that's easy to say. And yes, women, you have been taking it on. You've been doing great. I'm not saying one word against your ministry and what you've been able to do, but the men have to be coming back into the house of worship. You can't just let them stay out there, because they're letting Satan's whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And as you let them steal, kill, is let the evil one steal, kill, and destroy these men, the houses are being destroyed. Our children are killing one another. These mass shootings are people, these kids, these boys are killing one another. You hear about the mall, they have a fight. The children have a fight. And the thing that they know to do is to take that anger that they have, that malice, that rage, and they are going to get a gun and they're going to go kill people. We can't let this keep perpetuating, because we don't want to see the issue. Men, we need you back in the house. I won't prolong this, but I want you to hear the scripture of Philippians 1:6 in the New Life Version. I am sure that God, who began the good work in you, will keep on working in you until the day Jesus Christ comes again. He is faithful to complete it. Those of you that say it's not our problem, God wants to complete the work. Those of us who have the ability to pray and to encourage the men that we know in our lives, the men that haven't been in the house for a long time, talk to them, to encourage them, to share with them that there is love there. They're going to say, oh, those hypocrites, they're going to have all this stuff, but you got to get to the core of talking to them. And if they won't come back in the house, you keep sharing the message of Christ right where they are. Even if they got the Jack Daniels there, keep sharing the message of Christ. Even if they're whoremongering, keep sharing the message of Christ. We are the church. We want them to come back into the physical assembling together, but until they do, minister, love, encourage, and tell them that God that began that work wants to complete it in them. Now, I just want to encourage you all that, you know, I appreciate everything that you've been doing regarding Fordo's production. The reason why, and Faith joked with me, I said I wanted to get 1,000 subscribers by the end of the next few days. And she says, Mom, that's such a big number. I know that. But, you know, what I'm wanting to do is I want us who don't want to really open our mouths. If you don't want to share the gospel of Christ because you're intimidated and you just don't feel comfortable and all these words you say that are not excuses God's going to ever accept, the least you can do is subscribe to the YouTube channel for Fordo's production, Anita Helm, or send them to Milkshake Monday on some platform for the podcast, because we've got to share the message of truth to them. They may not have Facebook. They probably have YouTube. They may have some podcast, but it's not about me. I just want people to hear the word of God. I want people to know, because a lot of these people are hurting. And these men are being destroyed from the inside out. What you are seeing with the pants falling down of these young kids, the incarceration, they are being destroyed from the inside out, from young boys who get to the place where there's no man in the house. There's nobody. Grandma's doing a great job. Mama's doing a great job, but they need a man in their life that loves the Lord, not one that wants to pervert them and wants to hurt them and wants to injure them. These prisons are full of them. These streets are full of them. The gangs are full of them. And if the men don't know that they are needed back in the house of worship, back in their own houses, we're just leaving them for the devourer to destroy them. It's not about me, but we got to share with them. We need them. We need the men. We need the men. We don't need their money. We don't need all these things we're grabbing at them because they're stressed out because they feel like failures. But we need to say to them, the Lord loves you and he's there for you. And you don't have to have everything. They think they got to get all their stuff together so they can come back in. They're not ready to be in the three-piece suit, guys. They're ready to have somebody come and say that they love them and that God is the one to tell them they love them. and that he's died for them, and he will forgive their sins, and he will allow his spirit to minister to them as they take off the old man and have that new birth. But it's a process. And ladies, we can't get to the point that we say, hey, we don't need them anymore. We need them. We love them and we need them, and we have to be encouragement for them. I love you, and I thank you so much for being a part of Fordo's ministry and listening to Milkshake Mondays, episode 196. Tell people about it. I'm going to be transitioning off of my Anita helm, and it's only going to be through Milkshake Monday, and it's going to be Fordo's production on YouTube. I'm going to give you a couple months to transition, but then all of these over 5,000 or 6,000 people that are friends under Anita helm, you're going to have to go to Milkshake Mondays group, or you're going to have to go to YouTube or somehow the podcast, because I really don't know 5,000 people. I really don't. But I would love for you all to join Fordo's production, and you can get the word that way. I love you. And remember, the harvest is ripe, but the labor's a few. I love you. God bless you. Lord willing, see you next week. Amen.